With the start of fall comes the start of flu season. Last season, there were historically low numbers of confirmed flu cases, as well as flu-related hospitalizations and deaths. The drop was in large part because of public health precautions in place to prevent the spread of COVID-19. That may be unlikely to happen again this year as a lot of society has reopened. Dr. James Conway is Associate Director for Health Sciences at UW-Madison's Global Health Institute. He's an expert in pediatric infectious disease. Dr. Conway, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me back, Rob.
Can you first of all talk about that big absence of flu last year, one tiny bit of good news amidst, of course, the bad news about COVID last year?
Yeah, it was a really pleasant surprise that the combination of travel restrictions, schools being closed, and people being very careful about their secretions and who they were around really showed us that we actually could prevent most of the cold and flu season.
Is that likely to happen again this year, though, do you think?
No, I think it's unlikely. And we've actually already seen glimmers of the other side of this. You know, even with the limited opening of society, we've had a really early resurgence of a virus called respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, which has already showed up, usually shows up, you know, November, December, very predictably in Wisconsin. We've already had a surge of that in July and August. So I think we're already seeing that by just lifting even some of these measures, respiratory viruses are going to be back.
And a quick reminder, influenza, I kind of do a disclaimer every time. People sometimes think flu equals stomach flu. Influenza that we're talking about, respiratory virus, right?
Absolutely. Actually, very similar to coronaviruses in that they're upper respiratory primarily, and then they can cause lower respiratory tract disease. So they cause pneumonias, and that's really what does people in for the, you know, 20, 30, 40,000 people that die every year from influenza during a normal season. They die from a primarily respiratory compromise.
Having had a mild influenza season, and most of us therefore probably not exposed to flu virus, does that put us at any more of the risk of a risk this year or down the road?
Yeah, it does. I mean, on an average year, somewhere between 40 and 45% of people get a flu vaccine. And then depending on the year, I mean, we see, you know, 20 or 30 million infections. So that's about a tenth of the population. And so we get, you know, some herd immunity of 10 or 20% every year. And that carries over into the next year. We had, you know, essentially no influenza, as you mentioned. So we're really going to be depending on just the vaccine immunity this year, trying to prevent too much spread.
Who should get a flu shot?
Well, I mean, pretty much everybody over 6 months of age is eligible for a flu shot. I think the key groups, people that really need to make sure that they're immunized, are the older individuals, folks over age 65, people with comorbidities, people with underlying immune deficiencies and respiratory illnesses. Really the same group that we prioritized early on with the COVID-19 vaccines are really the high priority group. But we really recommend everybody get this vaccine, the same as we recommend everybody that's eligible get the COVID vaccine, because you're getting it not only to protect yourself, and these are unpredictable viruses, so while most people do okay if they're healthy with most of these viruses, some don't. And so we want people to get protected themselves, but we also want them to be able to then protect their loved ones and others that they're around and not transmit to them. And so it's sort of two for the price of one if you get your flu vaccine.
How dangerous has flu been in recent years, especially compared to something horrific like COVID?
Yeah, we've had some pretty nasty years, and I think it's, you know, only by virtue of how terrible COVID has been that people forget that 2019, 2020 was actually one of our worst flu seasons in some years. I mean, we pushed over 60,000 deaths in the United States from flu that year. Hospitals were really at capacity, and only when COVID showed up, I think, did it suddenly erase the memory of that flu season. But we've had some pretty bad ones. And then don't forget, we had a pandemic in 2009 with flu A H1N1 that really swept across the globe. So influenza is a bad actor. It's a lot like these coronaviruses. They're unpredictable. They mutate frequently. And so we do need to keep an eye out for them.
Can you talk about the vaccine and how it's set up? I understand now it used to be three strains. Now it's got four strains it's trying to protect us from. How do health experts try to figure out which strains are most likely and therefore which ones to tailor vaccines for?
Yeah, usually the way it works is that we look at what's been circulating in the other hemisphere. So in our winter and then summer in the southern hemisphere, each looks at the other one to see basically what's been circulating. And that helps predict what's going to be circulating in the coming winter. This year, obviously, we don't have a lot to go on because the social lockdown and mitigation programs in both sides of the globe have really shut down influenza across the board. And so it's really been sort of an educated guess. And essentially, the vaccines are made up of the same strains that were used in the 2019-2020 season, with a few minor alterations. But yeah, there's four strains now. So there's both of the flu B strains, and then they select two of the high risk A strains. So usually it's an H1N1, and then this year I think it's an H3N2. But every year they really have to kind of make a good guess. You know, the good thing about flu vaccines is, although they may not be completely protective and you do see breakthrough cases, they certainly are very good at protecting against serious disease, hospitalization, and death, even if the guess isn't quite right. There's cross-protection that usually does carry most people through as long as they're vaccinated.
Last year, I heard the case that getting the flu vaccine can help our public health system strained by COVID. So the influenza vaccine doesn't do anything for COVID directly, but it might keep people out of hospitals already strained by COVID-19 cases. Is that something you're watching for again this year?
Yeah, that's actually even a bigger impetus this year than it was last year. I think last year we asked people to do it because we just didn't know what to predict for any of these things. And it turned out that our mitigation really did control flu. Obviously, society is much more open, travel is back, and people are back to interacting. And so we're really nervous given the really full hospital capacity we're at in many areas of the state, that if you superimpose even a moderate flu vaccine, a moderate flu season on top of this ongoing Delta variant or whatever the next variant is, and we really could be in a world of hurt. So that's the idea, is really to try to protect society, protect the hospitals, protect the outpatient clinics, so that we can manage whatever capacity we've got for other diseases as well.
As we wrap up, let's talk timing of the vaccine. I used to think that, oh, if I get the flu vaccine too early in the season, it won't protect me anymore at the end of the season. I believe I was wrong.
You were wrong at some level because you're a young, healthy guy. But, you know, the CDC has actually kind of made some statements recently that for older individuals, you know, they should hold off on getting it in July and August, because vaccine is actually available in a lot of areas of the country as early as August. So too early is basically July, August for that population. Everybody else, vaccines are fully available now, and I encourage everybody to get them. You know, while flu season typically sort of starts up around the holidays and kind of goes through the winter, we've had a couple of years in the last 20 years where it did show up as early October. And we just don't know what to predict this year. And again, anything we can do to both protect our families and our loved ones and keep our hospital and clinic capacity able to manage the rest of these things that are happening, I think would do us all some benefit.
Dr. Conway, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Rob. Have a great day.
You too. That's Dr. James Conway, Associate Director for Health Sciences at UW-Madison's Global Health Institute and a pediatric infectious disease expert. He talked to us about flu season.